17. Had a good day yesterday and Friday down at the Super Bowl Fest. Another group going down this afternoon. We do need to have a meeting after the main morning service today. Need to talk about a few things. There's a not really a dispute, but problem is the Minneapolis cops, as always, have been very amicable and no problem. The other issue is that the NFL has their own contract security people down there. So there's some conflict with that. We just need to discuss some of that real fast. Not a big deal, I don't think. Okay, we're in Luke chapter 17. And we started something a couple weeks ago. We're just going to keep plugging away at it. We camped here in Luke 17 here, starting in verse 20. And it goes on down, if you let your eyes slide down through verse 26, the days of Noah and the days of Lot in verse 28. And then verse 32, remember Lot's wife. And whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be, two men in one bed. One shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women grinding, one taken, another left. So on and so forth. There's plainly something going on there with some sort of rapture. And so with that, we broke off. And it seems like Luke has been one of those places that we've broken off several times to go a different route. And it's like this. I find that studying the Bible and teaching it, for that matter, I live by the Rum River, and you can drive down 7 just a few miles from our house, just 4 or 5 miles. And actually, we've done this a few times where you drive into the park about a half mile, throw a inner tube into the river, and you and your kids and your wife or whoever can float down the river and come out on a bridge out by the road that's only about 3/4 of a mile from where you put in. But we discovered one time that that's like a 4-hour float. And the deal is that instead of running by the road, it runs by the river, of course. You're on the river. Well, the river takes this huge serpentine path back east. And so you wind up covering all this distance on the river and don't cover nearly that much on the road. And so I find that to be the case sometimes with the Bible, where you take off to study some little thing and off you go into not the wilderness, but it just leads in various places before it finally comes back out to the road. And so that's where we started here a few weeks back and talking about, for instance, verse 22, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. Talked about that for a week, came back last week with the need to kind of get us ready to read something here down in verse 33, 34, 35, although we're not really there yet. And so let me take just a second to review what we talked about last week. Before we do that, we should pray. Father, thank you for your love and goodness to us, and I pray that you'll please bless this morning. Lord, I know that for a long time there have been folks that have just been interested in revelation and apocalyptic stuff. But the fact of the matter is, every one of us here are reading about our future in some regard. We ought to all be students of prophecy. Lord, I know there are questions. I know that there are gaps still, things we don't understand fully. We keep finding all these folds and wrinkles in the doctrine of the Word of God where there's new stuff hidden. Lord, I just pray that you'd give us a mind to hear, a heart to understand, and we desire to know as much as you desire us to know. So I pray you'd help us, Father, as we study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so bottom line is, last week we went into this, and I've taught for years and years that there's not one rapture. You have all these people going sideways now with the pre-wrath rapture stuff, and mid-trib rapture, post-trib rapture, and all that. So there's a lot of Christians thinking they're going partway through the tribulation, all the way through the tribulation, whatever. Here's the deal. What they're confusing is the fact there's not just one rapture. A lot of times in the Word of God, in fact, quite a few places, you read about a rapture that's not the church rapture at all. So first of all, the body of Christ is getting out of here before the tribulation. Because the Daniel's 70th week, the great tribulation part of Daniel's 70th week has nothing to do with the church. It has to do with Israel, right? So we get out. It's a pre-trib rapture. The church gets out. Now, we discussed this last week, not trying to get off into it again. I may start redoing things if I can keep my mouth from running off with me. I may just start calling this Daniel's 70th week. Because truthfully, in Matthew 24, it's only the last 3.5 years that is the Great Tribulation. And properly speaking, it doesn't say there's the first half is a tribulation. There may be tribulation in it, but it doesn't say that the first half is a tribulation. It calls it the beginning of sorrows, okay? And so, without getting off into all that, the bottom line is that somewhere in the middle of Daniel's 70th week, around the time that the Antichrist comes into power, probably a little bit before, there is what we would have termed a mid-trib rapture. Maybe you want to redo that, because we're going to go up here. We're getting out at the rapture. We're going to a wedding. These people in the middle of Daniel's 70th week get out to go to the wedding, those virgins in Matthew chapter 25, right? Those guys are getting out, and some people are staying back. And so that is call it a pre-wedding rapture if you want to. I don't care. Anyway, that happens. Then there's a third group that gets out at the end of the Great Tribulation, that is, at the end of the Antichrist ruling and reigning. That's defined in Luke 12:36, where it says they go up to meet somebody coming back from the wedding. Somebody is going to get married, that's us. Somebody is going to attend the wedding, that's a mid-trib, a mid-week rapture. And then there's somebody else that's going to go up and meet the bridegroom coming from the wedding. Those three things can't be the same rapture. They cannot be the same rapture, right? And so that's established. Now, what we started talking about last week, okay, so look at it this way. There's three passages about it that clearly define there are three distinct raptures. So there are then three people: Moses, Elijah, and Enoch. We need to talk about them. We started last time real fast. Enoch is a type of the church. He's a guy that never dies. One day, if the Lord comes back in our lifetimes, and certainly hope He does, think He will, if you leave out of here in the rapture, you will never die physically, or for that matter, spiritually, ever, ever. Enoch was neither Jew nor Gentile. That was before the designation happened. Enoch did not live under the law ever. And he got out before the flood. He got out before the destruction of the world. He got out before the tribulation, got out before the destruction. That is a type of the church. That's you. Okay? Now, we skipped the middle just for the moment. We covered this guy last time. This is Moses. Let me run a few things past you. Moses dies in Deuteronomy 34. Jude 9 says that after Moses was buried in the land of Moab, that there was a dispute over his body between Michael the archangel and Satan. And I don't question that Michael won. And so I believe that Moses' body is no longer in the grave. I believe that Moses' body got transported out of here. So that's a rapture of sorts. Now, so Moses dies. Again, Michael comes to the fore for that brief confrontation with the devil. Michael is one that comes to the fore a lot in Daniel chapter 12 and Revelation chapter 12 regarding the second coming of Christ at the very end of the Great Tribulation here. So there you have Michael to the fore. There's something else that happened. While there was a dispute about Moses' body, Of course, Satan was standing on the ground disputing with Michael about it. And there's coming a day when Satan will be standing on the ground down here persecuting folks. Is that right? And then in Revelation chapter 11, Moses is resurrected after dying. And we went through those passages. And so that would seem to me to fit with a post-trib, that is a very late tribulation, almost to the second coming, rapture by which somebody's raptured to go and meet the bridegroom coming from the wedding. He's already married. He's coming from the wedding. Okay? Now that leaves us to look at this guy here, Elijah, real quick. And again, there's some things that make it seem to fit that Elijah is going to meet the standards of these folks that leave out of here during Daniel's 70th week. After we're gone, they're going to the wedding, to attend the wedding. They're not going to be married. Okay? And one thing that comes to mind about those folks, if you'll think about it, I'm asking you not to turn there right now just because we've got a lot to cover. We've read it through so often. How many virgins? 10. There were wise ones and there were foolish ones, right? And the wise ones got to go to heaven, right? There were 5 that had to stay back. So this issue is that there's an issue with this rapture. Now don't misunderstand. We are looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. We are looking for Christ to come back. If it happens that you're not looking when He comes, are you still going? Yes, you are. Okay, these folks here at the post-trib rapture, there's going to be a bunch of folks that are dead, that are raised from the dead like Moses was, are pre-types. And whether or not those folks are looking, they're still going to go too. Now, this mid-trib thing, if those virgins aren't looking, they're not going. And so there's an issue of readiness, and apparently the Lord gives an opportunity for some of His people to get out at the mid-trib or pre-wedding rapture if they meet certain qualifications. And everybody else gets to stay back and suffer through the rest of the 3.5 years. Okay? Let me just show you that real fast. Now, first of all, let me talk about Elijah. He was taken to heaven alive in 2 Kings 2. Is that right? Chariots of fire and all that kind of thing. I went up with in a chariot of fire. He lived during the time of trouble. And so Daniel's 70th week is known as the time of Jacob's trouble. Not the church's trouble, the time of Jacob's trouble. Right? Furthermore, with regard to Elijah, he was connected with 3.5 years of drought and no rain. Right? Furthermore, he lived in a day when both Ahab and Jezebel were in power. Ahab is a great type of the Antichrist, if not Satan himself. Jezebel is a great type of Babylon mystery religion, of the devil's church in the Great Tribulation. Makes sense? Another interesting thing about Elijah is there's a guy standing there beside him. His name is Elisha. Is that right? Elijah went to heaven. Elisha had to stay. So again, a split thing where somebody that's not watching gets to stay. Now, whether or not this tracks completely consistently or not, let me show you something real fast. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm talking about Elijah and Elisha. And look, folks, now some of this is typology, and so sometimes types don't follow all the way through. And you have to kind of gauge this. I hope you don't mind. Some of these things that I'm talking about with these things, I don't know anybody that teaches or preaches any kind of prophecy that can take you through an entire picture of what's going to happen without an element of speculation. So I can give you verses, and what I've given you so far is solid verses. My conclusion is this thing about a post-trib rapture, a pre-wedding rapture, and so on and so forth. If somebody else disagrees, that's the way it is, okay? So, but you have to shuffle through and sift through facts. Now look in 2 Kings 2. And this is Elisha and Elijah. One interesting thing about it, now I'm going to go into it more in a second. There's an issue in this tribulation, whether or not you're watching when Jesus comes again for the church. If you're saved, you're getting out of here. If you're dead, and you won't be, but if somebody's dead at the end of the great tribulation and Jesus comes again, they're going to rise from the dead whether they're looking for him or not. Right? Now, there's an issue with watching in this pre-wedding, some call it a mid-tribulation rapture. And notice with Elisha staying behind, notice an interesting thing. Elisha asks Elijah in verse 9 if he might get a double portion. He knows he's staying and that Elijah's going. He said, "Let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, Elijah says to Elisha, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, if you see me, when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." There was a contingency upon Elisha seeing this happen. And if he got to see it, then it happened. And if he didn't get to see it, it didn't happen. Now again, maybe it's not completely consistent all the way through because Elisha stayed back regardless. But let me just show you this real fast. Again, Matthew 25. Notice in these passages, this may answer, may fill in a hole, fill in a gap for somebody. And it certainly should fill in a gap for somebody that's inclined towards Pentecostalism or Assembly of God type prophetic teaching. Matthew chapter 25, this is the virgins, which are not the church. The church is a chaste virgin, correct? 2 Corinthians 11. These are 10 virgins, and half were foolish and half were wise, and half stayed and half went. So that's not us. Now in Matthew 25, regarding these virgins, notice down, if you will, in verse 12. He answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." That's to the 5 foolish virgins. Now, verse 13, "Watch therefore," watch, "for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now look, I don't know exactly when the Son of Man, when Jesus Christ is coming for us. So I'm looking for it, watching for it. Whether or not I'm asleep at the moment, I'm still going if I'm not watching. If I'm backslidden and not watching, I'm still going. Right? Somebody, though, in Matthew 25, if they're not watching, if they're not ready, if their lamps aren't trimmed and ready, they're not going. They're staying for another 3.5 years to suffer through the rest of the last half of Daniel's 70th week. Paul. Mid-trib rapture, pre-wedding rapture, somebody in the tribulation, they had to go buy oil. It's not, I mean, we apply it as our service and our watchfulness and our vigilance. What it means for them beyond what I've said, I'm not exactly sure. Let me put that on hold for a minute and keep tracking here, can I? Look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 42. You have passages cited continually about watching, watching, watching. Look, no question, we should be looking and watching and ready and vigilant, okay? No question. But again, whether or not, if you're saved, whether or not you are looking when he comes again, you're going to hear a trumpet blow and you're out of here, right? Now, if you were these people in the middle of the tribulation. That is not true. Those virgins, they had to be watching. Look in Matthew 24 and go down to verse 42. Let's start with verse 39. And knew not until the flood came, took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Talking about His coming. Then shall two be in the field, and the one shall be taken, the other left. Okay? Again, that's plainly a rapture, somebody taken, another left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, another left. Again. But then verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Well, I'm sorry, Matthew 24 is not contextually an issue for the rapture of the church, although we should be watching and ready. But somebody that's not watching, the indication is they're not going. And that's going to be this one right here. Now look at this. Look in, it's consistent with Mark 13. Mark 13. These watching passages tend to point towards prophetically this mid-trib thing, which is conditional upon somebody in the Daniel's 70th week going through that period and hoping to get out before the fur really hits the fan and things get really bad in the great tribulation the last 3.5 years. Apparently the Lord gives them a shot to get out if they're watching. Look in Mark chapter 13 and verse 35. Mark 13, go down to verse 35. Well, let's start with verse 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. We'll revisit that in a little while. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Again, no question we should be watching. There's no question. But there's an indication that for those folks, if they're not watching, they're not going. Watch this. Look in Luke 21. Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all of them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Somebody there, he says, watch and pray that you are worthy to escape what's going to come to pass. Now, we get to escape what's going to come to pass, and you're supposed to be watching, but you're out of here if you're saved and the trumpet blows. Right? You may not be in the best shape for the judgment seat of Christ, but you're still out of here. Somebody doesn't escape if they're not watching. These people here. So they get to stay and go through the remainder, if they can survive it, of the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Look in Hebrews chapter 9. For years, Pentecostals, Assembly of God, Southern Baptists, and folks that were kind of squirrely doctrinally have taught a split rapture. That if you're not watching when Jesus comes again, you're not getting out of here. There's a reason for that. Not because we won't if we're not watching, because we're the church, we're the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. But because there's somebody somewhere in some rapture sometime that if they're not watching and Jesus comes again, they're not getting out. They're staying. So you have Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9. Incidentally, John the beloved, leaned on Christ's breast at the Last Supper. Jesus told him secretly who the Antichrist was. Told him secretly, right? The Antichrist was dead by the time Jesus' work on the cross was finished. Judas Iscariot. The church gets out of here before the son of perdition shows back up. Who is John a type of? John's a type of the church, right? Jesus says in Revelation 4, come up hither to John. John's a type of the church. Did you know that there is no admonition in the book of John to watch for the second coming of Christ? Weird. Look it up. Go look up watch and watch all forms of the word. None in John. All in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And here in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Hebrews 9, let's start with verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now look, that verse 26 gives you a little hint that the Lord doesn't look at time quite like we do. We look back at Christ dying for our sins on the cross, appearing to take away our sins. And that was 2,000 years ago. That was a long time ago. The Lord looks at it as now and at once in the end of the world. For Him, for the Lord, 2,000 years ago either was or could have been the end of the world. You've got to put that in your computer and flip that around for a little while. Verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. Verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. What happens if you're not looking for Him? Well, the Assembly of God and Pentecostals say, you're not going. If you're not looking, you're not going. Split rapture. Now, folks, it does not fit here, but it fits here. Guess who Hebrews is written to? Somebody in Daniel's 70th week, looking for the world to come. Ain't that cool? Jim? I think they meet us. I think they meet the Lord coming back, and then they go with, come with us back, come back with us, something like that. I'm not quite done with this. Give me just a second. You say, okay, because we've been taught for all this time, you know, that, okay, we got to watch. I'm not disputing we need to watch. We're disputing that somebody that's not watching in the middle of Daniel's 70th week, not us, that if they're not watching, they're not going. Now, it says over and over again to watch. Look in Matthew 24. Let me just run this past you. Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. A very familiar verse for everybody, I know. Matthew 24, 15. Church gets out of here. One of the things that happens in the beginning of the, properly speaking, great tribulation, the last 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week, is going to be the Antichrist rising and placing the abomination that maketh desolate in the holy place, right? Everybody knows that, or should know that. Verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. They flee to the wilderness, and there they suffer through what? Verse 21. Great tribulation. Right? But the key there, I want to point out to you the abomination of desolation. One more, Mark 13. A quick flurry of turning here for just a couple minutes. Mark chapter 13. Go down to verse 14. In context, what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? The disciples are asking about, what about Christ's coming back in glory to rule and reign over Israel? And so he gives them this answer in Matthew 24, and he gives them this answer in Mark 13, that part of that issue is a placing of the abomination of desolation by the Antichrist in the temple in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. Now, Mark 13, 14. When ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not in the holy place, let him that readeth understand, then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. Okay? Now, if you're saved, you won't. But if you were on this earth and you made it this far into the tribulation, into the middle of Daniel's 70th week, and you're wondering what's going to come to pass next, if you did know the Bible and you saw the Antichrist march in entourage into Jerusalem and down to Temple Square and place the abomination that maketh desolate in the holy place, what would you know? You would know how much time there was left before Jesus comes again. Right? If you made it this far, and if you had missed the pre-wedding rapture, and you got as far as the Antichrist actually rising and setting the abomination that maketh desolate, you know how much time is left until Jesus comes again, if you know your Bible. So you couldn't say, because it would be 42 months, times and a half a time, 3.5 years, or 1,260 days. How many times is that in there? 7 times total? And so, I mean, if you got that far, you wouldn't have to watch for him to come back in the sense that you would know when he was coming back. Now, he said here, you're not going to know exactly when I'm coming. And so you got to watch. But if you made it this far, if you made it to here and saw the abomination that maketh desolate, you know you got 12. You know it to the day. You would know that 1,260 days later, you could count on Jesus getting here. So my point is that this rapture, this pre-wedding rapture, is the one that folks are required to watch for. And if you're not watching and he comes, you ain't going. And I know that this doesn't apply. I say you collectively, not in the sense that you. If you're saved, you're going in this one. This doesn't apply to you. This doesn't apply to you. If you're saved, you're gone here before any of this mess starts. Right? But if you are, if you manage to get through part of the, get into the Daniel 70th week, I'm having to watch myself with that because, like I said, tribulation and great tribulation and all that. But if you enter the Daniel 70th week, you've got to be watching, hoping that the Lord will get you out of here as you watch so you don't have to go through what's going to come when the Antichrist rises and brings the full wrath of God in here. Right? Jim. I'm saying your lamps better be trimmed and burning bright. You better have oil. You better be ready to go. You better know it. You better be prepared. Well, that's part of the equation. It's part of the equation. Yeah. The issue is readiness. The issue is readiness. And don't forget, in the Great Tribulation, you can lose your salvation. or in the Daniel 70th week, you can lose your salvation. So you got to be ready. Bryce?
But
sometime after he sets up shop. Revelation 13, yeah.
Is this the beginning or in the mid?
I don't think it's in the beginning, for what it's worth. When he rises to power, and
we aren't going to be here anyway.
Right, but still. So, okay, now, I'm not, there's a couple more layers of this, so let me add this in. Any questions so far beyond what we've talked about? Now, to me, there's always been a confusion. Look, I'm still watching. You're supposed to watch. You're supposed to be ready. All those things, right? But me going to heaven is not contingent upon me watching, because this is my slot. Somebody else, they got to be watching. And so with that contingency, the stipulation is somebody in the middle of Daniel's 70th week, if they are not watching, they are not going. So they don't get raptured. So they have to stay here through the rest of it. And then they have to contend with the mark of the beast and starvation and all those sort of things. Now, so we've got three scriptures, three raptures. There's three men. There's another interesting three I'd like to point out to you. And like I said, there are still holes in some of this for me, and I can't promise you, but it's interesting how things fall. Did you know that there are three come-up-hithers in the Bible? Now watch this. Look in Revelation 4. We spoke of Revelation 4 a little bit earlier. Revelation 4. Now, the book of Revelation is doctrinally, strictly, for tribulation people, but you see a picture in Revelation 2 and 3 that's really important, because in history, the history of the church, the churches, tracks with the characteristics of the churches in Revelation 2 and 3. I mean, in the beginning, things are great. In 1900 or so, there's the Philadelphia church age, and then things fall apart after that point. It's common across the board. We say we're in Laodicea now. That's because those historical characteristics of the church track right through 33 or 34 AD, right up to this time. And notice that now John has just seen seven church periods discussed. And the Lord says in chapter 4, verse 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter." John is told to come up hither. Again, John is a type of the church. And did you know that after you pass this point, the church is not mentioned in Revelation at all? So, John the Beloved, John Zebedee, that come up hither checks very well with this rapture, right? Okay, there's another come up hither. Again, let me take you down to, track my Let's look in Revelation chapter 11. Revelation 11. Revelation 11. Okay, Revelation chapter 11. You're in Daniel's 70th week. You have Elijah and Moses, who both return to this earth to prophesy against the Antichrist. In Revelation 11, 2, the devil is in power, the Antichrist is in power. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Again, 3.5 years. Verse 3, I will give power to my two witnesses. We believe these firmly to be Moses and Elijah, right? They showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17 with wanting to build tabernacles. It's the coming of Jesus Christ. Look in verse 3, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. That's, again, 3.5 years, 42 months. Verse 4, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Verse 6, these have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, have power over the waters to turn them to blood. Moses did that, turning to blood. Elijah did that, shutting heaven against rain. So it's those two prophets. Verse 6, and to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Moses and Elijah killed in the great tribulation. And they're killed in a city in verse 8 that's called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. They lay in the street 3 days and 3 nights. Verse 9. They, the people and the kindreds and tongues of the nation, shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. They shall dwell upon the earth, shall rejoice over them and make merry, shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them. They stood upon their feet. Great fear fell upon them which saw them. They heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. Those two guys are very late in the great tribulation, fighting with Satan. They have prophesied for 42 months, 3.5 years. The Antichrist lives past them, so he reigns for 3.5 years, so he must outlive them. So how that exactly is staggered, I don't know, but I do know this. Those two guys are killed, and when the Lord says, come up hither, those two guys get out of here at the end of the Great Tribulation. They are here. This is a post-trib rapture. Right? That makes sense? There's one more I'll try to get done here before we close down. This one tracks less clearly for me than the others. But there's a third come up hither, and of all weird places it's found in Proverbs. Proverbs 25. Now, since I only have one slot to fill, it's kind of obvious where it fits, right? But, and I know it seems like this may not even track, because in Proverbs 25, verse 6, it says, put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, stand not in the place of great men, for better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldst be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. Now, come up hither versus being put lower. Now, again, this is speculative a little bit, and there doesn't seem to be much of a tie between that and a pre-wedding, mid-70th week rapture. But interestingly enough, look in Luke 14, and after we're done with this, we won't turn any more this morning until church, all right? But Luke chapter 14. See, all else fails, if you come to this church, you're going to turn in your Bible somewhere. You're going to have to get used to turning in your Bible. In Luke 14, there's an interesting thing. Look in Luke 14, verse 7. So put not thyself forth in the sight of the king, but wait for him to tell you to come up hither rather than you having to be put lower. Now this tracks exactly with some things in Luke 14. He put forth a parable to those which were bidden when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. He that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place that thou, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go to sit at the lowest room, and when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Now that's not the same as come up hither, but okay, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Back. Interesting thing about this is that this tracks with what you read in Proverbs 25 as far as the practical application of it. And did you notice he's bidden to a wedding in Luke 14? Where is that? Luke 14, 8. Bidden to a wedding. Well, that's where these folks are going. To a wedding. Right? So, although there are some gaps, I'm willing to put Proverbs 25. Come up hither, come up hither, come up hither. Come up hither is us. Come up hither is post-trib. Come up hither is pre-wedding Daniel's 70th week. And there's still another layer that we don't have time to deal with this morning. Questions or comments?